Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Beautiful people, welcome to it. Stokely and Josh, Friday edition of the program, and we are coming at you live from El Patio, Denver, getting ready for Rockies opening day. It is going to be a great one. Get your butts down here. Nobody's working on a Friday on opening day, so come and see us, say hello. Maybe you walk away with our very special prize that we're giving away this afternoon. Stoke is out. Will Peterson is in. What's up, Will? How you doing?
Oh, it's great to be here for another opening day, Josh. El Patio is awesome. My first time at this spot. It's done up. It just opened. Yeah. So if you're listening now, you are allowed to come join us, and we would love to see you right across the street from Coors Field. The views are epic. I can't wait. Today's going to be a good day.
Going to be in the 70s. That wind's not getting crazy until a little later. So, yeah, come by. Say hello. We'd love to see you. We'd love to talk about the Rockies, Broncos, Nuggets, Avs. And like I said, we got a sweet prize that you have to come here to scan the QR code to get in the running and then be here to win that bad boy. So come and see us. Scan. And you could be walking away with a very, very sweet prize today. We got a lot to get into. It was a busy night. The Ball Arena Bros were both in action last night. But today, in general,
yeah,
vibes, feelings, it's not been great, obviously, with the start at 1-6 and all of the outrage on social media. Today's not about baseball anyway, but what are you expecting from the fans that show up here today?
Well, this day brings back memories, Josh. You remember, gosh, almost 20 years ago now, Clint Barmas hitting a walk-off home run against Trevor Hoffman, right? And then you remember 7 years ago, Kyle Freeland on opening day, the local kid, TJ, he's facing the Dodgers, and he mows them down, and the Rockies win and ultimately go on and make the playoffs, and Kyle eventually gets third in Cy Young voting. So to me, I want to look back on the good times, but I also know we live in the moment, so we have to talk about the present. The 1-6 Rockies, they lost 103 last year. They look like a 110 loss team to me right now. And it's depressing, obviously. It's the number one word everyone's going to use. But it's also frustrating because Dick Monfort gave that interview to our friend Troy Rank of the Denver Post and said, we don't need outside help. We wouldn't change anything because we've tried everything. We've tried everything to win at altitude. And it's like refusing to get outside help for going on 20 years now that Dick's been the majority owner of the team. That just frustrates me because you're coming off 103 and nothing in those first seven games made me think the number won't be 100 and something again this year in the loss column. And I know that's tough for fans to swallow.
Yeah, it is. And it's like I said, today's completely different because it's not really a baseball crowd. It's a Friday crowd. It's a fun crowd. It's a day drinking crowd and everything that's going to happen down here in lower downtown. But you're right, Will. I'm actually curious about a couple of things today. And I think I know the answer because of what this crowd is going to be. You think the hometown gets booed today?
Oh, I wouldn't think today. No, it's too festive, too celebratory. People are in too good a mood. Like you said, they're playing hooky. They're not going to work. That said, there will be some boos at some point this year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you can only get away with the, oh, we're just the party ballpark for so long. Mm-hmm. Colorado sports fans are too smart. They're going to plug in to the fact that this product isn't up to our standards, and they will get booed at some point. In all seriousness, I will be curious if Dick Monfort's in his first row seats today, his standard first row seats. We see him at the gate a lot of times on opening day, passing out stuff to fans. Hey, I'll give him credit. He gets out there. He shows his face, and he is not particularly well-liked at the moment, so that takes courage. But I'll just be curious today because it does feel like the temperature of fans versus ownership is kind of at an all-time high.
How are you guys feeling about it? If you're making your way down again, come and say hi at El Patio. But let us know on the RamosLaw.com text line your expectations for today, what you would want to do as a fan if you're inside this ballpark, not just today, but throughout the weekend. The number is 303-713-1043. Again, it's powered by RamosLaw.com.
Real quick, what's your favorite opening day memory, either personal or baseball? I know you've been to a bunch of these over the years.
Man, it's being in this business is different, right? Because today is we're envious of everyone that's here and not working, right? But we are here.
We also have it pretty good today.
Oh, you're right.
We're sitting on a couch doing radio at El Patio.
We have it pretty good at all times, to be honest.
True.
But I'll go all the way back to the very first Rockies game of all time. Mm. And I'm sitting at Mile High with my grandfather and my dad and my sisters. I was that. I wasn't a huge baseball fan. I grew up in markets without it until I came here, and then they got the Rockies, obviously. But it was just being in the ballpark, that atmosphere, the vibes, the fans, the high-fiving everybody around you. As a kid, you're like, this is great. This is what sports are about. It's bringing everyone together. We're all in this together. And then, of course, the walk-off home run from EY Sr., and the place freaking erupts.
Yeah.
I can remember that day, Will, going early to watch batting practice and had never experienced that. And, like, as a kid, just running around chasing baseballs that guys I don't even know who they are hitting him into the stands. So that's a while ago, but that's, like, my fan experience version of it.
Yeah, you're giving me chills thinking about that call. Mile high and out of here with EY hitting one out in a football stadium that really had been jigsaw puzzled into a baseball stadium.
And the field even looked weird. The diamond looked odd. It was that's my biggest, like, hey, fan memory of. And I've said this before about watching the Broncos win their first championship and seeing my buddy's dad's cry of, like, it's cool in those moments where you get to see what sports means to everybody, and then you're all in it together.
And I'll be curious, too, because as you've established and we've talked about, today is more about having a good time, right? Yeah. And the baseball is a little secondary. How long does it take the Rockies to get back to the baseball being at the forefront? Because there has been years that baseball was at the forefront of people's minds. And, hey, this is a big game. We want to win. We want to get off to a good start. And today, man, I bet there's going to be 50,000 people there. I know there's still some tickets available. We'll get to that in a little bit, I'm sure. But out of the 50,000, what percentage of that 50,000 walk out not even knowing the final score?
90. Half?
90. Oh, you think it's that high?
Yeah, I think it's about 90 today. The number obviously drops to tomorrow and then Sunday, although it's going to be crazy weather weekend. But, I think it's 90. You thought 50?
Yeah, I do. I think we got to give a little more credit.
I don't know, man.
But I just do think it's a bummer because what is the end goal of this organization, right? They're going to serve 50,000 fans today.
Yep.
And they're going to serve a lot of food, a lot of beverages, a lot of ice cream. They're going to do well today.
Yeah.
And if the Rockies lose 9-2, what is the highlight of their day?
Yeah.
Checking the cash register or the box score? I don't know.
That's you do I'm, know.
I think I know.
Because I know, and that's what it's been for a very, very long time. And that's what it feels like it's going to continue to be. We actually did get Jacob Toby of 9 News sat down with Walker Mumford, the son. And we're going to hear a little bit of that later on to see maybe how far the apple falls from the tree and what that could mean for the future of these Colorado Rockies. But, yeah, today I don't think a lot of people are walking out of that ballpark in the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning whenever they decide to leave and going, "Woo! You see that hit in the 4th inning? You see that double off the wall with Ryan McMahon had?" I don't think anybody's saying that. They're saying, man, ice cream out of an upside-down baseball helmet hits different.
Did you see that ball go under Nolan Jones's glove?
Right.
Did you see Michael Tolia put on a ski helmet after hitting a home run down 10-0?
See, I kind of want to see that now because it made you so mad yesterday
it
of the home run and the celebration. So, yeah, let us know how you feel. 303-713-1043. What are your expectations for today? Or is it just about the environment, the atmosphere, lower downtown being a party, which it is certainly going to be all day long? All right, well, we'll get into a deeper Nuggets conversation. But they lose last night despite Nikola Jokic having a triple-double. Malone got tossed. It was a game where Denver comes out dominant. Looked like, dang, they are ready to play here today. Start went on a 13-0 run. Mm. Got themselves right back into the game. Really started to control everything on the game. and it was a dogfight after that, and Denver could never find themselves again.
Yes, and I have a lot of takeaways from the fourth quarter that I want to run by you, but I'll just start here. When Jokic released the basketball, we all thought it was going in. Raise your hand if you thought it was going in. It looked identical to the game winner he made in Golden State.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, he's going to do it again. And it's to the point where he is so good, it surprised you that he didn't hit the miracle three that we saw famously in the playoffs last year against Los Angeles. But, Dover, there's a lot to get into
yes,
from that fourth quarter, including a very unhappy Michael Malone.
Very unhappy Michael Malone. He watched the rest of the game from the locker room after he got tossed, so we're going to get into that. I really like Aaron Gordon, Will. I really like Aaron Gordon and what he's been, and at times you can argue that he's the third member of the big three of this Denver Nuggets. He made a crucial error in the fourth quarter last night with about 40 seconds left on the clock. That probably cost the Denver Nuggets a chance to win the game and not have to rely on a 30-foot Sombor shuffle with P.J. Tucker and Nikola Jokic's face. We'll tell you what that mistake was and get deeper into the Nuggets conversation coming up next.
We're live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, across from Coors Field for our Rockies home opener party. Leading you up to first pitch, here's Stokely and Josh.
It's Will Peterson sitting in for Brandon Stokely today, and we're here rocking with you 10 to 2, as we do every day. But today, we're on a field trip. We're out at El Patio Denver, right across the street from Coors Field. Can't miss us. Come say hello. We're kicking it upstairs. Patio to the left of us, another patio to the right of us, and it is going down today. Just met one of our loyal listeners, Rick, who's all fired up to come down.
What
and
up,
hang
Rick?
Out. Rick's doing some fun stuff down here, so we'd love to see you. Come and say hello. If you can't make it and you want to be a part of the program, well, we still encourage you to do that at 303-713-1043. RamosLaw.com text line. Join us right there. All right, Will, we were talking about the Nuggets and the loss last night to the Clippers. It was the seventh straight game without Jamal Murray. I guess start there. Were you surprised that Jamal wasn't playing? I was a little bit.
No, I told you yesterday he wasn't going to play, Josh. Yeah, when Michael Malone's demeanor in these pregame pressers has been, well, of course he's not playing. But you know what? TNT did report last night that they are hoping to have him back Saturday for the Hawks game.
Hawks, yeah.
Because the national folks do get the coaches one-on-one. And it sounds like Malone revealed the goal is Saturday night against Atlanta for Jamal. That would go along with what we discussed yesterday. Hey, get him a few games under his belt before the postseason. It'd be nice to see him back out there. They certainly could use him. We know that much.
They win with him last night. But let's go to that Aaron Gordon play. So it's 100-102. The Nuggets are down by two. And they get a stop. AG gets the rebound. And, Will, I've talked about this in the past of, I don't like Aaron Gordon bringing the ball up the floor. They've done it, and it's a part of their sets. And when he just brings the ball up the floor to get Nikola the ball at the post and then dribble handoff motion starts, that's all good. But there's some times where he just, like, he's a kid in a candy store, and he can't help himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened last night. He grabs the rebound. You're at about 40 seconds when he grabs the ball and takes possession of it. Runs up the floor, and it looked like they were going to set the motion, the offense up for Nikola on that elbow. But it was Zubox, I believe, that was in at the time. He simply turned his back, and Aaron saw that with the lane, attacked. 90% of the time, that's the right move.
Mm-hmm.
Under 40 seconds, down one bucket with Nikola Jokic on the floor, that's the worst move of all time. And it turned out as such because he lost control of the basketball, fell, ball out of bounds. Now, the lucky part is the Nuggets got to stop again, and that led to the Sombor shuffle that you were talking about. But it didn't even need to get to that point. AG has to slow it down and give the ball to Nikola Jokic.
It's funny you bring that up because I texted my buddy, all caps lock, Nikola Jokic has to touch the basketball right after that play with Aaron Gordon. And it was such a weird night for Aaron Gordon, Josh, because the start of the third quarter, he gets hit in the face. He's looking all kinds of concussed. The TNT broadcast is mortified. They haven't stopped the game. He takes a really bad three, and then he commits a really bad, dangerous foul where he's falling over a dude's back. And I'm just wondering, is Aaron Gordon's mind in the right spot? Maybe it wasn't an hour later, because you're right. Aaron Gordon's a very smart player. And to not realize I have the best player on earth and he must touch the basketball down 102-100 under a minute to go, It's not his fault he blew a tire. We all blow a tire every once in a while playing basketball. But it is his fault for not having the peace of mind to get the basketball to Nikola Jokic. It's got to touch the Joker's hand every possession. And I know we're going to get into it, but that's a product of Michael Malone's ejection as well. The coaching staff maybe not reminding those guys it has to touch 15.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I thought the same thing of like, if Malone's in the game and on the sideline, I don't even remember if they had a timeout, but he's yelling, slow down, slow down. You have, I mean, Will, especially at I think he grabbed the ball with 37 seconds. That's a perfect two-for-one situation. You're going to take the shot clock down to 4 seconds. Joker takes the shot, and it's a little floater in the middle of the paint, and then the Clippers have a chance to respond, but you're getting the ball back with 10-plus seconds to go shoot a game winner that doesn't have to be a Sambor shuffle with P.J. Tucker all up in Joker's face. So I'm glad we're on the same page because, like I said, and I see a texter right now, he made the right move. He just slipped. Like I said, I'll even go to 95% of the time. Yeah, he did. But under 30 seconds and needing a bucket, that's the wrong move if your name's Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, Nikola Jokic has to touch the basketball every single possession in that critical of a game. And Malone getting tossed. The officiating was hot garbage last night, Josh. I mean, it was terrible. It was truly difficult to watch because the play that ultimately got Malone ejected was Michael Porter Jr. going up for a three. His landing area clearly impeded by Zubac. And they say, oh, well, he kicked his feet out. Well, he kicked his feet out as an instinctive thing to protect himself so he doesn't roll an ankle. Malone loses his mind. If you're good at lip reading, there was some fun lip reading to be had.
TNT said he told the referees that he wanted a fruit cup.
Yeah, it was an effort. But I think, too, so Malone gets gassed. Two things here. One, it motivated the Nuggets because they went on a run. And a lot of times we know in pro sports, coaches get ejected to motivate their guys, right? It's just a tactic. Two, they got that rebound with 9 seconds left. That final miss from the Clippers came with nine.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't call the timeout till five. And that's David Adelman. You know, we were talking about him yesterday, maybe getting the Charlotte Hornets gig. That's David Adelman burning 4 seconds because it was the confusion of, oh, do we get it past half court? Do we call it right away? And I'm telling you, if they have nine, not five, you're not looking at a 30-foot Sambor shuffle for the win. So that's another thing, double-edged sword. Do I like Malone getting gassed? I actually do. I think last night, two techs, the whistle was terrible. MPJ's got a dangerous play on him that's clearly a three free throw foul. But I also don't like getting him ejected because his assistant, frankly, didn't understand time and score. Cost him 4 seconds and cost him a much, much better look at a game winner.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It should not have gone down to that, but yet it did. And I'm glad you said that, too, because I'm not upset about Malone getting tossed. That was a terrible call. A terrible, terrible call. It's also not only is MPJ protecting himself, he's curling off of a screen and jumping into the shot. And that's what created the contact, and that's why it looked like his foot kicked out. But it was a terrible call, missed on the officials, and good on Malone for protecting his players and fighting for his players.
Yeah, I think as a head coach, Michael Malone realizes that feels like the Nuggets don't normally get a fair whistle, and that obviously starts with Nikola Jokic. I mean, some of the stats are mind-boggling, how many free throws guys like Giannis are shooting tonight, guys like LeBron are shooting tonight versus how many Nikola Jokic is shooting tonight. And he has to tread that line of, hey, we won a title last year, so we deserve more respect.
Yeah.
But also, if you're whiny every single game and every single post-game presser, those officials are human, too. They're just going to swallow the whistle. Mm-hmm. And then the calls are going to be even worse and hard to overcome in the playoffs. So Malone's really good at it. I will give him a lot of credit. He's really good at treading that line between standing up for his guys and also not coming off as he's just the complainer 24/7, 365. But, man, it worries me for the playoffs. Because last night had playoff intensity. It had playoffs sort of grinded out. Kind of a gross game. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of rhythm those final three quarters. Right. And if that's the whistle they're going to get in the postseason, it's cliche, but they may be playing 5-on-8 more nights than not.
Yeah. There was something else that happened in this game that, now there's a long list to choose from, but I think I might have seen the worst NBA shot in the history of NBA shots.
Oh, yeah. I think I know where you're going.
Russell Westbrook had a turnaround jump shot from, I don't know, 15 feet away, maybe 12 feet away. And Will, his turnaround jump shot from 12 feet away, it went over the backboard. They went over the backboard and almost got stuck in that spot where they have to get the broom and get a tall guy to help get the ball out.
Yeah.
And I could not believe, I like rewinded it three times because something had to have happened. Somebody poked at it or something. You don't miss that badly in my 40-year-old rec league, let alone an NBA player that won an MVP at one time. How in the hell did he miss that badly?
I don't know, but I saw some people saying Russell Westbrook's in playoff form, you know? Hey, Russ is a good player.
I actually like Russ.
He was once a great player. Yeah. He's now a good player. But, yeah, just horribly ugly. Became a viral clip all over the internet. And listen, man, the Clippers were all... They were a little too happy for my liking last night.
You know what I got vibes of? The P.J. Tucker stuff. Like, P.J. shutting down Nikola.
Yeah.
And even TNT was always doing a great job on Nikola Jokic. I got the Lakers...
Hachimura
vibes.
I knew where you're going.
No, go ahead. Keep that same energy if y'all meet up again in the postseason, PJ.
Well, and you know what's funny is they're all happy slappy last night. Enjoy Dallas in the first round. I mean, they are on a collision course yeah. for a 4-5 with the Mavericks. I'm taking Luka and Kyrie all day over that old Clippers team
yeah.
that really plays with no energy until Westbrook gets out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is the spark plug for them. It's like you're relying on, what, 37-year-old Russell Westbrook to be your energy?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a formula for a championship.
I will say this, too, for the referees, who were bad, you're right, but I absolutely love, I hadn't watched a ton of Clippers games since the refs had stopped rewarding hunters, the foul hunters. It's so beautiful to watch James Harden go chase contact and flail his arms up in the air and then not get the call.
Yes.
It's awesome to see.
It's hard to watch James Harden play basketball, Josh.
Dude.
It really is. It is not an enjoyable experience, and I'm so glad he's never been a Denver Nugget because it feels like he's been on about half the teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
But to have to root for that guy would be like rooting for your boy Zach Edey. I'm glad I'm not a Purdue fan because it's just not an enjoyable brand of basketball to consume.
It is not. All right, the Avs got a big win last night in Minnesota. They held it down for the Ball Arena Bros. Always good to beat the Wild. Justus Annunen was good and is going to get at least one more start before the playoffs. Will he get time in the postseason? We're going to revisit that conversation coming up next.
We're live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, across from Coors Field for our Rockies home opener party. Leading you up to first pitch, here's Stokely and Josh.
Yeah, we are live at El Patio, starting to fill up quickly here, so make your way down to El Patio. We're upstairs hanging out on some couches right to left of a patio, right of a patio. We're going to be here all day. Will and I till 2 o'clock, and we'll hand off to The Drive, Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay. And then, of course, they'll be here getting you through the game and keeping the party going all afternoon right here at El Patio Denver. Will Peterson is in for Brandon Stokely. We're talking about the Avalanche and their win last night. They held it down for the Ball Arena Bros and got a dub. Got a victory over the Wild. And you know what, Will? You and I are kind of the same, cut from the same cloth. I don't care where the Wild are in the standings, in the world. Beating them is nice.
Yeah, I said it on Twitter last night that, hey, any night you can beat the Wild is great. And it's even sweeter, Josh, that they sent them closer and closer to the golf course. They're not mathematically out of it, but Minnesota is in a big old hole. So they can enjoy Cabo, and we will enjoy the playoffs, and I am looking forward to that.
So it's a big win. 5-2 was the final. Miko got an empty netter. His 40th, by the way, of the year.
Well, it was sneaky big
because
he had been stuck on 39 forever. So some people might say, that's a cheapie. It's an empty. I don't care. Just get the monkey off your back.
Yep.
Get the big 4-0 and watch Miko score like 6 goals in the next 4 games.
Exactly.
Now.
That's exactly what I thought. And Jonathan Drouin was great. We're going to get to that. Drew and I were just talking about it, Will. That goal from Arturi Lehkonen, which I always have to say it. He's not my Turi. He's not your Turi. He's our Turi. It's a blast from, who even shot it? Jack Johnson, I think, shot it from the top. And the rebound is quick to right in front of the net. Arturi Lehkonen is not only there in the right position, he got control of the puck on his stick in 0.2 seconds. Enough to the point where it's still on the tape, and he fired it right back at the net and found the back of the goal. That's an underrated because of what Jonathan Drouin did and then passed to Nathan MacKinnon, obviously, to get him on the score sheet. But that goal from Lecky to get the party started was freaking beautiful.
He did the intermission interview on the local broadcast, and he said, I had no idea how that puck went in.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
And that's what's funny about it, too, because you're right. It was gorgeous, and you know how it did go in was five-hole. I mean, mm-hmm. He sniped it. Five-hole shows his hand-eye coordination, the ability to get the puck off the stick really quick. So, yeah, it's kind of funny that the guy himself says, I don't even know how that went in. And it's like, well, Arturi, you had such a good shot that went right 5-0. You should be proud of yourself. Mm-hmm. Maybe give yourself a little more credit. I like Arturi Lehkonen, the player. Arturi Lehkonen in the interview may be one of the most brutal in all of Denver sports.
And that's weird, too, because usually hockey guys aren't bad. Hockey guys are decent on interviews. Like, they hold themselves well and they have a good conversation.
Oh, it's, I mean, he's just boring.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know. I get it. Yeah. I watch Wayne Gretzky on TV. Yeah. I know.
No, it's nothing with him. He's a great player. And honestly, Josh, when we talk about Arturi, he finally looks like himself again. Yeah. Remember, they never said it because it's hockey, okay? And this is me speculating. I'll be clear. I'm speculating. He broke his neck, right? When he went into the board sideways, he broke something in his neck. Missed 30-plus games this season. Again, because it's hockey, it's just an upper body injury. It was like, well, that's a pretty severe upper body injury. And let's be honest, dude. If you broke your neck, it'd be pretty hard to go play hockey again. I think he's getting in his rhythm at the exact right time. And he's not an afterthought on this team by any means. But he never comes up first or second or third or fourth. It's usually the fifth or sixth guy people mention when they talk about the best players on this team. They'll need him if they want to win a cup.
Yeah, that's a great point because he is, and you're right, he's not the star power, but like it's what we talked about yesterday. He's one of those guys that if he does his job, Nathan, Nico, and Kale don't have to do the extra. Don't have to do the extra lifting for that team. There's something else with it. I know we talked about it with the Wild R, but the Avalanche took four penalties last night.
Okay.
And had to kill a 5-on-3 at one point where Anonen was great on that 5-on-3. Then the Wild end up scoring a goal on the original power play. But they don't take those penalties, and you're not going to play a clean game ever or often. But you know that's a one-penalty night or a two-penalty night instead of the 8 minutes that they give them. They destroyed the Minnesota Wild last night. And I'm not going to worry about it because, like I said, it's going to happen. But those little things of like, hey, you got in your own way a little bit last night, and it didn't have to be, at least at times, as tight as it felt.
I get that, and I think it's a double-edged sword because they played a pretty boring game against Columbus that they didn't seem to have a lot of energy, right? And last night they came out flying over. And if you come out flying, that's inevitably going to lead to more physicality. What's more physicality going to lead to? More penalties. So I think we got to be careful here. Yeah, play smarter, but also don't play like you played in Columbus, which was boring and safe. Play edgy and a little crazy.
Yeah.
And if you take four penalties, you take four penalties, still won 5-2. So I'll take the energy any day of the week over maybe hemming and hawing about, we're committing too many penalties. To me, when you play hockey really hard, penalties are just going to happen.
Yeah. And now it goes to Edmonton this evening, where Alexander Georgiev will be in net.
Did you see my prediction came true, by the way?
What was it?
Who was in the Avs locker room last night after the game?
Was it Gabe?
Choo-choo!
Oh, choo-choo. Yeah. He made the flight, so he is there.
I know, but you were saying, he's in Denver at 10:20, yeah. And I said, last time I checked, Stan's got 7 private jets. I don't think he's going to have too much trouble getting to Minnesota. Where was he 9 hours later? He was in Minnesota. Now, maybe they had him fly C-37 Southwest.
I doubt
I'm
it.
I'm guessing they did.
Yeah. Does he really have 7? He's got 7 PJs?
He got 7 PJs.
Oh, gosh.
No, I think you count the Avs PJ, the Nuggets PJ, the Rams PJ, the Arsenal PJ.
So he's actually only got 3 for
and
himself.
And maybe 3 PJs. I've heard some stories. You know what? I can't even tell.
Yeah, we'll do it all.
I can't even tell it. But let's just say that Stan once went on a road trip with the Nuggets, saw their plane, said, I'm going to take my own plane. I had a former player once tell me that. Yeah.
It's good to be the boss, man. You get to make those kind of decisions. He's worked hard for that.
Yeah.
With what the Avalanche are in this goaltending thing, I want to talk about it because Anand was good. They have one more back-to-back, right? The Avalanche do, and you assume you're going to get, a split between goaltending there. I didn't think, Will, that we would have this conversation again, but he was really good last night. And now, if Georgie shows up tonight and is also really good, nipped in the bud probably for now. But I still think it is open for a conversation, and you said that yesterday, and I wasn't really entertaining it, but I was wrong in that, and we need to entertain that conversation about splitting time between the goaltenders.
Yeah, and I think my larger point was that they're going to need 2 goalies to win the Stanley Cup. I have no intentions of sitting here saying, yes, Juuse Saarinen and should start round 1, game 1. No, it's Georgiev. Alexander Georgiev's your guy, but at the same time, man, you are going to rely on Anand just like you relied on Pavel Francouz, Frankie, 2 years ago if you want to go all the way. So, yeah, he was good last night, but I'm not trying to stir up a goalie controversy. I'm just not. I don't think that would be good for the team. I think that could divide a room this late in the season.
Okay.
I think you have your one. Georgie's your one. But tell Onanen, that mask better be right next to you because you never know when we're going to need you to hop out there on the ice.
303-713-1043. It's the RamosLaw.com text line. Join the conversation on anything that we're chatting about there or ask some questions. But
what do you think, though? You try to make a controversy happen?
I don't know that I want to make it a controversy, but I think it's a real conversation to have right now. And then what happens tonight can amplify that one way or the other, right? Of Georgie comes out and looks great. He puts up a wall and nobody in Edmonton can get past him. All right, well, he's cool. The conversation's over for a week or so.
Well, but especially Edmonton. I mean, if you're stopping McDavid and Draisaitl,
right.
you're having a good game.
But I think if he's a problem this evening and they lose because of goaltending, well, then I think it amplifies it on the other side of, well, if Eustace is going to get one more start and shines, then we have that goalie controversy.
Josh, he was the fourth string goalie to start the year. I mean, it was
Georgiev,
and then Frankie, and then bonus points if you remember Prozvatov, era with the Avs. I mean, this guy was an Eagles afterthought. That doesn't mean people can't blossom into jobs. That doesn't mean they can't earn jobs. But do you really want to go out there and play the Winnipeg Jets and Connor Hellebuck with a guy who was your fourth-string goalie to start the season?
Well, I understand that point, but he's evolved. He's turned into a different version of a fourth-string, a better version than that fourth-string goalie we saw back in the day. And I've said
back
this a
bunch. Back in the day, you're acting like it was 4 years ago. 4 months ago.
4 months ago. That's a long time in sports. And I said this about the Avs probably since we started doing this show. It's not about goaltending. You need to score. Like, you have Cale Makar. You have Mikko Rantanen, you have Nathan MacKinnon, you have Val Nichushkin, you have Jonathan Drouin who showed up last night. And you can't just be Swiss cheese between the pipes, but the Avalanche are built to win games 4-2, 5-3. That's what this team is built to do, not 1-0, not 2-1.
No, this isn't the Patrick Wire. That's for sure. It's a different kind of cup-winning team. Remember, they beat Edmonton in a Western Conference final game 2 years ago, 8-6.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if that's how they got to get it done, they got to find a way to get it done. So, yeah, I'm with you. They're not going to win or lose the cup. Well, I'll say this. They're not going to win the cup because of goaltending. They could lose the cup because of goaltending.
I always feel like it's like how good this team is. I don't know. It's like a football team with a star wide receiver, a star running back, a star quarterback, a star linebacker, a star safety, and then you go, yeah, but that guard on the left side, I don't know. That could cost us a chance at a championship.
Right.
That's what I feel like we say when we talk about Avs goaltending.
So you're saying we're getting too nitpicky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put the pressure on Nathan MacKinnon and those guys to score goals. So we'll get back to it. We'll revisit that conversation for sure. I want to talk about this Rockies home opener. We're here at El Patio Fort. What do we expect today? What are fans going to do today? And we're going to tell you what we expect. What we expect out of you fans and Austin Gomber getting start number 2 next.
We're live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver across from Coors Field for our Rockies home opener party. Leading you up to first pitch, here's Stokely and Josh.
Yeah, we're getting ready for first pitch. Things starting to fill up here at El Patio, so come and say hello. Grab yourself something to eat. Grab yourself something to drink. Come talk to Will and I. Will Peterson hanging out for Brandon Stokely today. We do got the crew, though. Brian's here. Drew's here. Amanda and Richie are running around somewhere. It's a big day here for Denver Sports at El Patio. And if you can't make it, be a part of the show. On the text line, RamosLaw.com text line is 303-713-1043. That is powered by Ramos Law. Hit us up right there. All right, Will, we want to talk a little bit about these Rockies. What's happening today? You get Austin Gomber versus Zach Lidle. Lidle 1-0. He's got one start. Pitched well in that one start. It was against Toronto for the Tampa Bay Rays. Had 6 Ks in 6 innings. Gave up 4 hits. Still hasn't given up a run. Austin Gomber, quite the opposite. 4 2/3 innings pitched in his first start, gave up 6 hits, and has a 7.71 ERA today, 3 Ks in his first start. Will, it's supposed to get nasty and windy. I don't know if it'll play into what the baseball game will be here today, but do you think a little home cooking for these Colorado Rockies and Austin Gomber get them on track today?
Well, Gomber's ERA is 20 less than Kyle Freeland, so that's something to build off
of. Silver lining, man.
He was also, don't forget, the centerpiece of the Nolan Arenado trade.
That's right.
He was the big prize from the Arenado trade. Not the debut he wanted. Then again, no one on the Rockies pitching staff has really had the debut they've wanted other than a couple of bullpen guys who I couldn't even tell you their names. I just hear the broadcast say, hey, he's been good to start the year. So, good for them. Listen, man, they need to hit the baseball today. Obviously, you got to build on those five runs you put up against the Cubs in the eighth inning the other night. But they need someone to stop the bleeding. I mean, that is the key to this game. Can Gomber go give you six innings and hold Tampa to a run or two? That may feel like a big ask, but this team desperately needs a laugher, and they need to be up 9-1 in the fifth inning just to sort of relieve the tension. Everyone can take a deep breath. Now, I think the odds of that are happening are 2%, but you asked me what would be ideal for the Rockies today. It'd be Gomber having a really good start and the bats continuing to hit the baseball, which was, you know what, everyone likes dumping on the Rockies. I get it, but we have to be fair, too. It was actually encouraging that down 8-3 and in a sleet storm, they didn't just pack it in and go home against Chicago. Of course, they still lost the game, but at least they seem to show a little effort.
Yeah, it is that comment you just made about like gripping too tight, the pressure from the losses and the embarrassment, and we're talking about what, seven games played, right? And literally three of the seven, you can maybe even argue four of the seven, they've gone viral for bad play.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there is a part of that. I saw it on Kyle Freeland's face in his last start when he didn't cover the bag on first base. Like, you could see the frustration in his face. He's mad. He's gripping too tight. Like, they're white-knuckling everything. I just don't see a way for them to get out of that other than come out here today and score three runs in the first inning. And then you kind of get to go, okay, we're just playing baseball here.
Yeah.
Because they're trying so hard right now to stay out of their own way that they continuously get in their own way.
Well, the clubhouse is now open as well, so some of the quotes from the guys are starting to roll in. I found this one interesting from Scotty Gaines, 9 News, talked to Nolan Jones about 10 minutes ago. And here's what Scotty said. Nolan Jones says this has been the toughest start to a season he's ever had. And he said that Charlie Blackmon sat him down and showed him some of his old errors to show him that it happens to everybody.
Wow.
So this is a team that is gripping, and I kind of like it. You know, Chuck's my favorite player. I'm never going to bag on Chuck. Chuck's 38, and he's still the best thing the Rockies have going on. But Charlie Blackmon's really sitting down. Nolan Jones, who, remind you, made all those top 100 lists this year as best 100 players in baseball, the only Rocky to make it, right? This kid is supposed to be their best player. He's made four errors, including, like you said, Little League viral for all the wrong reasons. And seven games in, we got Charlie Blackmon YouTubing Charlie Blackmon errors and showing them to Nolan Jones. Oh, boy.
Wow. Yeah, that's certainly not what you're shooting for 10 days into your regular season by any means. But I will, you know, if you want to look for some silver lining, you asked a question yesterday on the show about who's a leader. And maybe Chuck should have ripped that dang helmet off of Toglia when he did the home run dance. But that's
ski helmet. We got to be clear.
Sorry.
And goggles. Because,
yeah.
Yes, they wear helmets. That's fine.
Right.
But don't put on a ski helmet and goggles when you hit a home run down 10-0.
But yesterday, you were looking for some leadership. I think that shows a little bit from Charlie Blackmon. And he's, you know, trying in any way that he can. It is a huge red flag that we're doing this 10 days into the regular season. But if I'm reaching for some silver lining, I'm gonna throw that out there. That, hey, at least Chuck is stepping up in that leadership role.
No, like, I'm not mad at Chuck for doing this.
You're mad at no one from four errors.
I never thought, Josh, that you and I would be sitting here on opening day talking about they are so bad already. Again, this isn't the 26th guy on the roster. Nolan Jones is supposed to be their stud player. Their stud player is getting therapy sessions from their veteran about his errors with basically the message of, we all make errors.
Right. Don't worry, man. I screwed up when I was young, too.
I mean, I didn't do it in front of 40,000 people at Wrigley on opening day and send the ballpark into a frenzy. But, you know, it's just we have to wash this taste.
Yes.
And how do you wash this taste? Not only do you win today, you win in a laugher.
Yep.
Like, I'm looking for a laugher from the Rockies today. Again, I think the odds of that are very low. But that would be the way to push the big old reset button on this season.
I saw something on the internet that maybe I hadn't seen. I feel like I'm not hip or cool anymore. but you seem to have known about this. There's a thing called the 999 challenge.
Oh, yeah.
That goes around baseball times. And it is go to a baseball game that's nine innings. And inside of that, you have nine hot dogs and nine beverages of your choice. So one an inning, basically. You think you could pull that off?
It's so funny you bring this up because this was my fantasy football league's punishment.
Oh, really?
This year. You were able to select, if you got last place, of one of three punishments. And the guy who lost picked this punishment okay. to do. He's going to attempt the 999 challenge. No, I couldn't do it, Josh. I would have done the other punishments, not this one. Do you know how wrecked your gut is going to be? I mean, we're in our mid-30s. We're getting to those gut issues.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Listen, man, nine beers or Dr. Peppers or whatever yeah. and nine hot dogs in nine innings? Gosh. Bro, that sounds miserable. And I will remind you, this was a lot easier 2 years ago. Baseball now has a pitch clock. So you were looking at 3 hour and 20 minute games.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at 2 hour and 30 minute games.
Good call.
Getting that down each inning. You know what? The first and second innings, you're going to be like, whatever.
Yeah.
Third, fourth, you're going to be like, this kind of stinks. Fifth on, you're going to be miserable.
Yeah. You're going to need a lot of Tums, some bathroom breaks, I'm assuming. And that's always interesting at a stadium to use the restroom in that facility. I'm with you. I don't even know that I could do half of it. I don't know if I can do four and a half throughout nine innings. That's a lot of hot dogs going on, man.
Well, my buddy has to do it. He's doing it at, like, because I went to the University of Missouri. He's doing it at a St. Louis Cardinals game coming up this summer.
I want to know how that goes.
So I will report back to you how it goes, yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. The 999 challenge, I guess. I always thought of it as, like, folks in Colorado, you go, what was the thing? You go ski nine runs, play nine holes of golf, and then go watch nine innings of baseball.
Yes.
That's like the Colorado 999. Now, I'm down for that.
I do that all day.
But I'm not sure I can.
I'm not doing nine hot dogs.
Right. I'm not Joey Chestnut around here shoving hot dogs down my face every day. Could you do it? 999 challenge. Tell us at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. We'll come back, react to a few of your texts. But I want to talk about a mock draft out there for the Denver Broncos. It's having the Broncos do something we like, trading back and still landing a quarterback. Details coming up next.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.